So for Mark, one dimension of the sin against the Holy Spirit is to call divine things demonic. And that can happen in many different ways. Now, we're leaving the central part of Hebrews. There'll be one more chapter developing it, and then we move on to chapter 11, the famous chapter that lists all the great saints of the Old Covenant. Christ is mediator of a new covenant. Everybody knows what that new covenant is, right? In one way, it's Jeremiah 31, isn't it? Days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Jacob. Not like the covenant I made before when I led them by the hand out of the desert. This is the covenant. I will write my law in their hearts. That's the new covenant. The law written in our hearts, which means what? The Holy Spirit dwelling in us. That's the new law. You know, Aquinas has got a, you know, the letter kills, you know. When he's discussing this question of the Holy Spirit, new law, he said, you know, you can treat the gospel in such a way that the letter kills. If you just take it and try to jam it into existence and not rely on the Holy Spirit and love the Father, it just becomes another law. And that can kill. So, for deliverance from transgressions under the first covenant, those who were called may receive the promised inheritance. Okay. Now, Christ did not enter into a sanctuary made by hands, a copy of the true one. That's what Moses did, right? Come up to the mountain, I'll show you the plan for the sanctuary. But he entered heaven itself. Now this is hard for us to grasp. Because for us, heaven is a place. Well, it's got to be some kind of place because there are bodies there. But it's heaven itself, that he might now appear before God on our behalf. Now he begins his priesthood, which is incessant intercession and action in this world, mostly through this Eucharist. Not that he might offer himself repeatedly as a high priest, each year enters the sanctuary with blood that is not his own. If that were so, he would have had to suffer repeatedly from the foundation of the world. But now, once for all, he has appeared at the end of the ages. The end of the ages, or the end of days, is a biblical expression. It means end one thing and begin another. So we're at the end of the ages. We're at the end of the whole old dispensation. So that ends, and something else begins. The prophets always said, and it shall happen at the end of days. Well, if it's the end of days, what can happen? See, it's the end of these days, and there's a beginning of these days. So we live in the final days. Nothing more is going to happen until the Lord comes back. See, to take away sin. Take away sin. That's the new age. Not the, you know, get into the jacuzzi and have a mystical experience. That's not the new age. The new age is Jesus. Just as it is appointed that human beings die once, and after this, the judgment, so also Christ. The very punishment becomes the source of our salvation. Death. You see, he offered once to take away, also offered once, offering himself to take away the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to take away sin, but to bring salvation. Take away sin,
That's great.
But what we're learning for is salvation. The total transformation of our bodies and spirits to be with God, the most blessed Trinity, forever. That's salvation. And so, to bring salvation to those who eagerly await Him. We have a lot to look forward to. Well, let's stand and pray.